Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Ches. We learned for the continued success of Chayalei Tzal, they should be able to bring back the Chatufim, the Meheira, in good health. All those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one, the Meheira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up at the Mishnah, already halfway down Chav Ches, and Aleph, we'll see, maybe we'll be able to do an extra half a Daf today, and the answer is Hashem, try to position ourselves already for Pesach. It's coming up, we're almost a month in front of Pesach. So let's begin with the Mishnah, Chav Ches, and Aleph, right in the middle of the Daf. The Admasai Chayav Lahachris, we've been dealing with various discussions about lost items that are found, and until what point do you announce and say, well, nobody's claimed it. How what's wrong if I have to keep on announcing it? So, Ad Kidei Shiedu Bo Shchenov Divir Rameh. Rameh says that you announce it until the Shchenim, no, El the Shchenim, in that area where you found it, as the Gemara will explain, will be aware, and at that point, you've done enough, and you no longer have to announce it. Review the Omer, Shalosh Regalim. You have to do it for three Regalim. We have the three Regalim, of course, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So when those three regalim passed, so then Mistama, all of Klai Yisrael made it up to the Shlosh Regalim in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. If they couldn't come up every time Mistama, at least within 1 year's worth of Shlosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they would have come up at least one time. You announce it each of the Shlosh Regalim, and then after the last regal, V'achal HaRegal Achron Shiva Yomim, you announce it still for 7 more days. You wait an additional 7 days. Why? Kidei She'elech LeBeiso Shlosha. So a person should be able to go to his home in 3 days. We'll discuss why 3 days. Where does this number come from? Because, after all, the Gemara elsewhere will say that it takes 15 days to cover all of Eretz Yisrael. In any event, Kadei She'elech Lebeiso Shlosha, and then the Yachzer Shlosha, you realize then that you lost something, and you'll come back 3 days, and then the Yachzer Yom Echad, and one day you'll announce that you lost your object, and whatever it was, and you give the Simanim for it, and then anybody who has found it will be able to know that you're the correct owner. The Gemara will discuss this in more detail, so let's jump right into the Gemara. The Gemara starts off and says, Tana Shreine Aveda. We learned in the Braisa, adding on to what our Mishnah said, Rav Meir's opinion, Kidei Shiedu Bo Shcheinov. So which Shcheinov are we talking about? I already gave us the answer, but the Gemara goes through the discussion. My Shcheine Aveda. Whose Shcheinov are we talking about? Elaim, if you're telling me Shcheinim Debal Aveda, that the neighbors of the person who lost the item, so they're the neighbors that we're referring to. We don't know who that person is. If you knew who the person who lost the item is, so just go back and give it to him. So it can't be talking about the shchenim of the person who lost the item because we don't know who that person is. And therefore, it can't be talking about his shchenim because we don't know who he is. Obviously, the Gemara says that you're right. Elo shcheni makom shenimtzis ba'aveda. You found it in Canarsie. So you go and announce in Canarsie. That's Mistama, where the owner of the item is. So you announce in the area where you found it and make sure all the neighbors there know. That is the Bryce's understanding of Rameh's opinion. Then we quote the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Yehuda Omer V'chulei. Yehuda had said in the Mishnah, the Shlosh Regalim, the Acha Regal Achron, you wait the 7 days, 3 to travel back to your house. You realize you're missing something, then 3 to travel back to Yerushalayim, and 1 day to do the Hachrazah. So the Gemara says, there's a Mishnah that seems to contradict our Braisa. Now, this Mishnah is found in Tanis, and the Mishnah there talks about Bishlosha b'marcheshvan sholos hagashamim. At what point in time do we actually start asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the rain? In other words, when do we start saying the same Talamot Levracha? We know in Chutz Laretz, we always say, we start saying it from December 4th or December 5th. But in Eretz Yisrael, they start at a much earlier point in time. Why? So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah brings down that on the 3rd of Mar Cheshvan, that's when the Tanakhama says that we start asking for the same Talamotu Livrocha. Rabban Gamliel disagrees. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Bizayin Bo, either you say the word Shehu or not, Bizayin Bo, Shehu Tesvav Yom Acharchag. He says, no, you start on the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan, which incidentally is the Halacha L'maisa. There are 3 opinions that are given in that Mishnah. We only bring down the first 2 because we're really interested only in the second opinion, Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, because that's the steer to our Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel explains why on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, because he says even the people in the most far-flung places from Yerushalayim, it will take them only 15 days to get there. The maximum travel time in Eretz Yisrael is 15 days. So he says you wait the 15 days, which will turn out to be Zayin Cheshvan, from the conclusion of Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us what happened this year on Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and bring Nechama to all of Klai Yisrael, and bring Yeshua to all of Klai Yisrael. So on the 15 days after Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, so that's Zayin Cheshvan. And why that time? Kadesh Yagia Achron Shebet Yisrael in Har Paras. That's how long it would take the people to get to the furthest flung areas of Eretz Yisrael on the way to Bavel, and that is to the Nahar Paras. And therefore, you see that it takes 15 days for people to get home, not 3 days like we said in our Mishnah. So there's a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Tainus. So we reconcile in the following way. Rav Yosef lo kasha, there's no stira over here. It depends which base of Mikdash you're talking about. Kam b'mikdash rishon, kam b'mikdash sheni. What does that mean? Different base of Mikdash that we're referring to, the 3 days versus the 50 days. B'mikdash rishon, in the first base of Mikdash, Rav Yosef says, the nefishe Yisrael tuva, there were many, many, many more people living in Eretz Yisrael, as the pasuk says, the sibu pasuk from Malachim Aleph, where it says, Yehuda v'Yisrael rabim kechol asher ala yom l'rov, that the people of Yehuda and Yisrael were so numerous, they were like the sands on the banks of the sea. That's how many people there were. In other words, lots of people. And therefore, bo'inon kulehai, it would take them 15 days because of such large traffic jams, because of such large amounts of people living in all the far-flung borders of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it took them 15 days. In the second base of Mikdash, b'mikdasheni delo nefisha Yisrael tuva, there were not so many people that came back, as the pasuk tells us as well, from Nehemiah. So it says, d'chsiv b'hu, kol ha'kohol, the entire amount of people that came back with Ezra and Nehemiah at the time of Bayisheni was a very small amount. Kol ha'kohol, ki echod, arba ribo, there were only 4 10,000s, 40,000 people, alpaim, another 2,000, and shlosh meyos, and 300, v'shishim, and 60. So the total amount was 42,360 people. A very small number. And Mestama, they didn't live in far-flung places. So Lobin and Kuliai, they lived much closer together. There was very few people, so there was safety in numbers. They lived close together, and therefore it only took them 3 days. So that's where Yosef's Teretz. Morris says, Amalei Abaye says, V'hok Siv, but it says, in the second base of Mikdosh, V'yeshua Kohanim Alvim V'gomer, it says that the Kohanim and the Levim all came back. It really means over here the Kohanim, because the Levim didn't come back. So this is referring to a very small number of Levim. So V'hamishorim, V'hashoarim, V'chol Yisrael B'yareim, and included amongst them, besides the Kohanim Levim, were the people that were in charge of singing in the Beis HaMikdash, V'hashoarim, the people in charge of the gates in the Beis HaMikdash, and V'chol Yisrael B'yareim, and all of the Jewish people came back to all of the cities that had been populated in the Bayis Rishon, implying that even though there were very few people, they still traveled all over. So why would it take only 3 days to get back to all the places? It should take a much longer period of time, 15, just like in the Bayis Rishon. So therefore, the teretz that Rav Yosef gave is wrong. And therefore, he changes it around. Now that you're telling me that the first Beis HaMikdash had a lot of people all over Eretz Yisrael, second Beis HaMikdash had very few people, albeit all over Eretz Yisrael, so now we can flip it around and say as follows. Mikdash Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash in the Fishi Yisrael Tuva, that there were so many people over there, guess what? They had much better means of travel. The mitzvahs alma, because then the word mitzvahs over here doesn't mean the mitzvah, it means tzevis, Rashi says, which means companionship. There are so many people there, so guess what? The caravans, the traveling, the trains were open all night long. Mishtachle shayarasa, the ozle ben yamama, ben uvein belelya. So guess what? The people weren't afraid to travel. They had such numerous people, so they traveled day in and day out. They traveled all during the day and all during the night. And therefore, lo bein and kulei hai, there were people constantly able to go and travel. So the 15-day trip could actually be accomplished in a much shorter period of time. In the second Tosfos, Chamisha Asar Yom, so he says, okay, so if they're traveling day and night, so instead of taking 15 days, it should have taken 7.5 days. So he answers that, no, they were able to constantly go. So there were, even during the day and during the nighttime, there weren't as many stopovers, right? If a person is looking to take a flight and he has to stop over someplace, so there may be a 3 or 4 hour delay between the first flight and the second flight. But if there's a tremendous amount of traffic, so like a shuttle, the shuttle's going every half hour. So therefore, you could cut it down from a 15-day journey to a 3-day journey. That's when the first base of Mikdash, there were so many caravans, there were so many people traveling, that the speed of the travel was much faster. And therefore, lo bein and kulei hai, only 15 days, only need 3 days. Visaki b'tolasa yoma. 3 days is enough. Mikdash sheni, the second base of Mikdash, the lo nefishi yisro tuva. Hey, there's one flight a day. There's only one train leaving per day. So therefore, it would take people a long time to get back. The lo nefishi yisro tuva, there weren't so many people. The lo mitzvahs oma, there wasn't so much tzedis, there wasn't so much companionship, there wasn't so much travel together. So there's only one shayara every day. It doesn't even go every day. Maybe it goes every other day. Lo mishtachei shayarosa, they also ben yimam ben lelya. They wouldn't travel day and night. They wouldn't even necessarily travel every single day. So therefore, b'idam kuliyah, therefore it'll take 15 days in the Bayi Sheni. So that's the teretz that we want to give to explain and reconcile. The Mishnah Tainus, it says it takes 15 days to get to the far-flung places of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Bayi Sheni, where there wasn't a lot of travel. There wasn't a lot of flights. There weren't a lot of groups going together. So therefore, they took 15 days to get to the more far-flung places. And Bayi Rishon, they're constantly shuttles every half hour. So therefore, they could get to the far-flung places in only 3 days. Rava gives another teretz. Rava Amar, lo shno b'mikdash rishon, lo shno b'mikdash sheni. No, both the first and second base of Mikdash, the rabbi said 3 days. It has nothing to do with the practical. You're right, it took 15 days to get to the most far-flung places. However, the rabbis didn't want to be matriach, the person who found this, to have to stay so long. He'd have to stay there until he found something, right? He finds an item. And now he has to stay there for the 15 days travel and the 15 days back. So he just lost another month of work. He lost another month of getting back to his family. So lo hitrichu rabbanim b'yaveda yosef yidai. They didn't want to trouble the person who found it too much. So they said, okay, a week, that's not the end of the world. So 3 days to will allow for travel. No, if a guy lives farther away, that's his problem. But we'll give 3 days for travel each way, and then the seventh day to announce it, and that's all the rabbis insisted upon. So even though the travel would take 15 days, no difference first and second base at Mikdash, that's the distance, that's what it took. Nevertheless, they only made it a week. Now, on Ravina says, Shmami, no, we can learn from this that Rabbi Huda says that it was 3 days going and 3 days coming back, and then 1 day to make the achraza, that you can see from here, Araya, that when they made the announcement, ki machriz glima machriz, when they would make the announcement, we'll see this is a machlokis we'll have in the Gemara, they would make the announcement. Somebody said, I found something. So he would say, I found the garment. Just giving us an example. He would state what he found, and then the person would have to go and give the simonim on it, either the location or the description of it or something unique about it. So they would announce, though, that a garment was found. You see, Ravina says from this idea of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah that only 3 days of travel and 3 days to come back, there was no time in between that he had to go look through all of his properties. Ki machriz glima machriz, because the isoka daituch avedisa machriz, if you're going to tell me that they would announce, I found something, so then the person wouldn't know what was lost and it would take him a while when he got back to his house. Being on limitve le chad yomo, he'd have to have a whole day li yune the money to see, well, am I missing anything? Well, they said they found something. I better go check all my properties that I took along to see if I'm missing anything. So that would take a day in and of itself. So therefore, from the fact that the Mishnah Yehuda doesn't say this, elishma mino, glima machriz, you can see here a raya, they announced that a glima and a specific object was lost, and this way the person would be able to look. Oh, they said a shirt was lost. I'll go check my shirts. That will take me 5 minutes to go check my shirts. If I have to check all my properties, that's going to take me the whole day to see if I am missing something. And therefore, Shema Minah, Ravina says this is a good raya to the opinion that says they would announce the actual item that was lost and not just say that an item was found. Rava disagrees. Rava Omar, afilu tema avedis o machriz. No, you can't bring a raya from here. You could even say that they just announced something was lost without specifying what it was. Nevertheless, lo itrichu rabbanim v'aved yosef yidai. You're right. They really would need an extra day to go and look for it. But the rabbis didn't want to be matriach the person that extra day, just like they didn't matriach the person for the people that travel 15 days. So that's it. The rabbis just said, according to Rava, we're only making it have to stay over for an extra week for the person who found this Aveda, and that's it. Even though technically you would need an extra day, the rabbis didn't insist upon that. They did not want to be matriach the person. Now, he didn't have to technically stay there himself. He could have asked somebody else to stay there. Somebody basically lives in Yerushalayim would function as the person who found it. He could make somebody a shliach, and he would tell him where I found it and give him all the details so that that person could function as the one who found the Aveda. Okay, Tanur Ban, we learned the following brisa. Rego Rishon Omer, Rego Rishon. So when we said the opinion of Yehuda was that you announce three regalim, so in the Mishnah, when you announce the three regalim, so you announce after the first rego, this is the first rego, and after the second rego, rego sheni, Omer, rego sheni, this is the second rego that we found it, but the third rego, rego shlishi, you just say Omer Stam. You just say, we found it. Now, you don't say this is the third rego. The Gemara asks, obviously, why not? Why don't you go and say this is the third rego? So we will be aware that this is the last one. So Gemara says, because the lo osi lachlufe b'sheni, because people may mishear it, and they'll come to say, oh, did he say the second rego or the third rego? So therefore, we're concerned that they'll misunderstand it and say, oh, I got time, I'll come back the next rego, and I'll go and make the announcement that I lost something. So therefore, they didn't want to take any chances. If they don't hear which regal it is, they'll automatically know that it's the third regal. So Mori says, well, if you're concerned that they'll make a mistake on the third regal, then why aren't you concerned they'll make a mistake on the second regal? And they'll think maybe you said the first regal. The law should apply then to the second regal too. If you're concerned they'll make a mistake with the third regal, why aren't you concerned that they'll make a mistake with the second regal? Sheni Nami, we turn to Chol Ches and we Beis, Asyul Lechluvi Rishul. Maybe they'll miss here and they'll think that you said the first regal and they say, I got plenty of time. Someone says, no. Even if you misheard that, Hakasi Regal Shlishi, there's still at least one more regal. So the person's not going to say, oh, I'll wait two regalim to come. So even if he mishears the second regal and thought it was the first regal, so he'll say, okay, I'll come next regal and tell everybody that I lost my property and this is the simon on it. So therefore, less chance of a takala with the third regal if they were to hear wrong. That would be it. They say, I'll come back next regal. It's too late. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn the following brayso. So Barishona, initially, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Mi Shematzu Aveida, anybody that found an Aveida, or anybody who lost an Aveida, Hayamachriz Aleo Shlosh Regolim, they would go make the announcement for the three Regolim, as Rabbi Yehuda had said, and then they would wait the 7 days, Yacharego, Yachron, Shivasram, and they would wait 7 more days, 3 to travel, Kidei Shelech Shlosha, and 3 to come back, Yachar Shlosha, and then Yachriz Yomecha, and 1 day to make the announcements. Now, Misha Charu Beis HaMikdash Nebuch, with the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, Behera B'Yameinu, the Gemara says, Shibana B'Behera B'Yameinu, should be rebuilt speedily in our time. So his kino, the rabbi said, well, people aren't coming up to Shlosh Regolim anymore, so what do we do about Aveidos? So they said, Shemachrizim B'Bati Knesios B'Bati Midrashos. So go and announce it in the places where the Jewish people would gather. And that's the best that you can do. There's nobody going up to the Beola Rega. So therefore, announce it in the gathering places, which of course are the shuls and the base medrash. Umishir Rabu Anasim, however, and we'll explain who these Anasim were. These are people that would turn over any Aveda to the government. So now, people were scared to announce things publicly because as soon as somebody said, I found something, so these people, these Anasim, these people that go take things by force, so they would say, oh, that belongs to the government. And they would demand that he give it to the government. So therefore, they couldn't announce it publicly anymore. So his kino, the rabbis made a takana. How do you do Ashavas Aveda? Shumodiyim l'shkeinov. You tell your friends quietly without making public announcements. Ulmi yudov, and people that you know and can trust. And therefore, v'dayu, you did everything you could. Because if you announce it, they're going to take it away. It's not going to accomplish Ashavas Aveda. Now, who are these anosim? So, my mishiravu ho anosim. What does that mean? So, as I said, the amre, the people that would come and say, avedasa lemalka, the government gets any aveda. You don't get to keep it, the government gets it, and they would take it from anybody who announced that they had an aveda. My sushaya, Ravami ashkach udya de dinore. Ravami was fortunate and he found one day, udya de dinore, Rashi says, clay male zahuvim. He found the utensil that was filled, he found the wallet that was filled with coins, had no simonim on it, and he would get to keep it. So, chazya hau barnash de komirsis. A certain person saw that Ravami found it, and he saw that Ravami was very much afraid, because he saw that this other person saw him, and he was afraid that this person would take it away from him and, quote, bring it to the government. So, amalei. So this other person told him, don't worry, zil shkol l'nashach. No, you get to keep it. I'm not the parsium. The lav parsoi anon. It was the parsium, the Persians, who had this rule that Avedis Solomalka, anything that's found automatically goes to the government. But us, no. The Amre, they say, the Persians say, Avedis Solomalka. But us, we say, find this, keep us. You get to keep it. So don't worry about it. There's no simon on it. You couldn't return it. And therefore, you get to keep it. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn another bright. So Evan Toin, Hoyts of Yerushalayim. There was the famous Evan Toin in Yerushalayim. What was this Evan Toin? This was a stone that people would go and announce things that they found or things that they lost. Call me Shaav the Lo Aveda, Nifna L'Sham. Anybody that lost anything would go there. That was the lost and found place. And the Homi Shamotzi Aveda, Nifna L'Sham. Anybody who found something would go there. So therefore, all the people that lost things would go to the place where all the people who found them would go and announce them. Say, Al Medu Machriz. So the person who found something would say, I found. Now, see, in the next Gemara. We're going to say, what did he announce? Did he say, I found a shirt, let's say, a glimo, or did he say, I found something? That would be machlokas we'll have. In any event, and then the person would say, hey, I lost something, and he would say what he lost. I lost the shirt. If they had announced the shirt, he would just say, okay, that shirt, these are the simonim on my shirt that I lost. And if the two matched up, yeah, that was the shirt that was lost. That was the item that was lost. So the person who found it would return it to the person who originally owned it. And that's what the Gemara over there in Tiny says, Zuz Shonin, the famous story, Tsuru'u in Nimches Eben HaToen, the famous story with Choni HaMa'agel. Choni HaMa'agel was famous, of course, the story there in the Gemara. There was no rain that year, so Choni HaMa'agel was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he drew a circle, Ma'agel, that's where he got his name, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not leaving the circle till you make it rain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in deference to Choni HaMa'agel, made it drip, drip a little bit. Choni HaMa'agel said, that's not what I asked for. I asked for rain to help the people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then made it pluck, and he made it pour, a downpour. Choni HaMa'agel said, that's not what I asked for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then made it rain normally. But it says at the end of the story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't stop the rain. And since it's never proper, as Tosfos points out, to go and ask for bracha to stop, you never go and mispahal a rov tova. So therefore, Choni HaMa'agel said, has the rain stopped? See if it's reached all the way to the point of the Even HaToein. See if it reached the point Even HaToein. So therefore, that's where we see this example of Even HaToein. Okay, now we're going to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Omar Eswaveda, if the person who's saying, that's my lost item, says the name of the item, however, Velo Omar Simonel, but doesn't give the appropriate Simonim to prove that it's his object, so then Lo Yitain Lo, you don't give it to him. The fact that he was able to name what object was lost, but he doesn't give any Simonim on it, so you don't give it to the person. And in addition, the Haramai, if a person is known to be a cheat, he's known to be a non-Erlicha person, so even though he gave over the Simonim on the item, Lo Yitain Lo, as we'll see, unless he can bring Edim to prove it. The Edim, we don't assume are lying, we don't suspect him of lying. This guy's a liar, this guy's a cheat. So just because he gives a Simonim, so the Gemara is going to explain what we're concerned about in this situation is that he saw the person originally wearing this garment. He knows the simonim on the garment. Now he hears that the garment is lost. He'll say, this is my garment. So therefore, if he's a Rama, if he's a cheat, we don't give it to him based upon simonim. But if you have Edom coming along and saying that he's not a Rama, that he's an Erlich guy, so then we will give it. Of course, if you have Edom saying that it belongs to him as well, you'll give it to them. So you don't give it to him because based upon the pasuk that we had already a number of times, Shinemar, Adrosh Ochicho So. The pasuk is, Vimlo Karov Ochicho Elecha, Velo Yedato, if you don't know who the guy is, Vasafto El Toch Beisecha, Voyimcho, Adrosh Ochicho Oso, Vashivo Solo. Until you check him out, you investigate that he's an Erlich guy, then you can go give it to him based upon the Simonim. Achitishosh Es Ochicho, in Ramayu, in Eno Ramayu. You have to check him out to see if he's a cheat or not. Now, Itmar, the Gemara starts and says, we learned Rabbi Yehuda Omar Avedasa Machriz, Rabbi Nachman Omar Glima Machriz. This is what I was alluding to earlier. What exactly does the person who finds the object go and announce? Does he say, I found an item without mentioning what it was? And therefore, the person who can identify what it was with Simonim, it's certainly a guarantee that it must belong to him because nobody else would know that it was lost. Or do we say, no, he says, I found the shirt. He specifies the item, and if you have Simonim, you get it. If you don't have Simonim, you don't get it. So this is the machlokas. Rav Yehuda says, they just announced Stam, I found something, without specifying what it is. Versus Rav Nachman says, no, they specify what it is. So what's the rationale? So Rav Yehuda is easy, because the less information you give, but you told, I found something, so people will say, I really lost this item, the Mestama, they really lost it, if they can name what the item was, plus the Simonim. Whereas Rav Nachman says, listen, if I just hear that something's been found without specifying what it is, I'm not going to really look to see, did I lose something? But if he specifies and says, I found this item, it's a shirt, oh, then I'll go look among my shirts. Hey, I am missing a shirt. Maybe that's my shirt. I'll give the simonim, and if it's mine, I'll get it back. So that's the understanding of the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda Amar Aveda Somach, whereas you announce the Aveda, not by name, but you just say, I found a lost object. Because the Amar is Glima Machas, because if you say the actual name of the Aveda, then Chayishinon L'Ramoy, then we have to be concerned that people say, oh, a shirt. And I heard that Yanko lost a shirt. And this guy says he found the shirt. Mestama, it's Yanko's shirt. I remember Yanko wearing that shirt. Had a big stain on the bottom of the back. And therefore, I'll go and say, yeah, that's my red shirt. And has a stain at the back. And oh, they'll give me the shirt. And he'll be a Ramay and he'll steal it. So therefore, the less you announce, the better. Just say, we found something. Therefore, the people that have lost something will know to go there and see if it's the same thing that they lost that was actually found. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman says, no, you specify what exactly was found. Rav Nachman Amar Glima Machris. We just use Glima as an example. Whatever the item is, that is what you announce, I found. So the guy says, I found the shirt, I found the garment, I found the Glima. So, L'ramai Lo Chashina, and we don't concern ourselves. So maybe somebody will say, hey, you said you found the shirt. I know that Yanko lost the shirt in the stomach. It's that red shirt that Yanko has with the stain in the back. Oh, I'll go in and chop it. So Rav Nachman says we're not concerned about that, because if you are concerned about that, then where do you ever end it? Well, if I announced that I found a lost item without even mentioning what it is, oh, I'll go listen around. Who says they lost something? And I'll try to go and figure out what it is if I'm a rami. So if you're a rami, ain't lo davar sof. You can never stop that from happening, and we do the best that we can, and therefore we want to try to maximize the likelihood that if a person lost something, he'll get it back. So we announce this type of item, this shirt was lost, and therefore the people that have lost the shirt will hopefully come forward and get their shirt back. Now, the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Eswaveda Velo Amar Esimenea. Our Mishnah said that if the person who is claiming that it's his item says the name of the Aveda, he says it's a shirt, but he doesn't give the Simonim, then Harez Elo Yitelo. Our Mishnah said you don't give it to him. Now, Mimonushach, you can't be talking here about the fact that it was announced that it was a shirt that's lost, otherwise, what's the Chiddush over here? If you say stam, like Rav Yehuda, that you just announced an aveda was found, a lost item was found, without specifying what it is, oh, then we understand our Mishnah. Even though the guy did say, was it a shirt? I lost the shirt. And he was right, it was a shirt that was found, but ki lo amar simanim, but he didn't give the simanim on it, therefore lo madrin alei. Oh, we understand that makes very good sense. But if the guy says, I found the shirt, so Eliyam is Glima Machwiz, like Rav Nachman, that they announced actually it was a shirt that was found. And Omariyu, and this guy comes along and says, oh, I lost the shirt, Glima. Yeah, I lost the shirt. The Omariyu Glima. And that's exactly what they had announced. So then what's the Chiddush to say, Tzrich Lemeimar Kilo, Omar Simonim Kilo, Madrina Lake? Then why would you need to say that if all he did was repeat, the guy announced, I found the shirt, and he says, I lost the shirt. And you need the Mishnah to tell me, if he doesn't give Simonim, we don't give it to him? Doesn't make any sense going to Rav Nachman. Shmuel says, no, I'm Rav Safra, that's not a problem. Because Le'olam Glima Machris. In fact, as Rav Nachman said, they do announce the specific type of thing that was found. The guy says, I found the shirt. Amar Iyu Glima, the Amar Iyu Simonim. And then the guy comes along and doesn't just say, yeah, I lost the shirt. He says, I lost the red shirt. He gives some sort of a simon, but not a definitive simon. Umay lo amar simon. That means when it says he didn't say the simonim, lo amar simonim move hakim dida. He didn't say it has a stain there on the back. This place, there's a little rip over here. It has a certain type of marking on the label. No, he didn't give simonim muvhakim. He didn't give definitive simonim. He just gave a general. It was a large. It was a red shirt. So he didn't give adequate simonim. That's what the Mishnah meant. But in fact, Rav Nachman says, they would announce, the person who found it, I found the shirt. So therefore, it's not a proof against Rav Nachman. Then the Mishnah said, Varamai, if it's dealing over here with a cheat, even though he said it's a red shirt, even though he gave specifics, more than just the red shirt, so we don't give it to him until he could bring Adam to say that he's not a Ramai. The Bryce expands on this. It says, Tana Rabban, Barishona, the original halacha was, called Nisha Abdullah of Eda, anybody that lost something, so he would give the Simonim of it and he would take it. However, Misha Rabu HaRamayim, when cheats unfortunately became much more common, and all of a sudden people would hear that a shirt was found, and they'd listen carefully to say who had been losing a shirt, and they'll try to remember that person's shirts that he had. They didn't have 40 shirts in their closet. They had one or two shirts. So therefore, they'll say, oh, if Yanko lost that shirt, Mistam, it's his red shirt, and I know some Simonim on it, and I'll go chop it before Yanko goes and gets it back. So therefore, in this situation, there could be cheating, Misha Rabu HaRamayim, so then, Hiskinu Shiyu Omrim, that's when they said, Shiyu Omrim Lo, say, you're a potential Ramai, v'havei Edim d'lav Ramayah. Go bring Edim that you're not a Ramai, and then, v'tol, then we'll give it to you. Now, Maisa Shoya, kiha d'avua d'rapapa. It once happened with the father of Papa that he lost something, irkas le'chamora v'yashkechua. He lost his donkey, and it was subsequently found. Then he had to go and give Simon that it was his donkey. So asu l'kamei d'rabba baravuna. The Papa's father went to the basin of Rabba baravua and said, that's my donkey. Now, Amar Lei, they told him, we don't know you. Zil Aisi Sahade the Lav Ramai at Vitol. Go and bring witnesses that you're not a Ramai, that you're an Eluchayid, and then we'll give it to you. He knew the Simonim, and they would give him back the donkey. Now, So the father of Pup had no problem bringing witnesses to say there was an honest person. But when Rabba Bar Rav Huna asked them, Amalu, he said to these two witnesses, Yediuson Bey Diramayhu. So he phrased it in an unusual way. And Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, do you know that he is a Ramai? Now, most people would have expected to say, do you know that he's an Erlich person? And that's what these witnesses thought they were being asked. That's the way Rashi understands this. So Amalayin, yeah, he said, yeah, he's an honest person. That's what they were saying yes to. But Rabba Bar Rav Huna had asked them, is he a Ramai? So when they answered yes, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, wait a second, they're saying yes, he's a Ramai. But that's not what they meant. Now, the father of a pupper heard them say that yes, he's a Ramai. He heard the question properly and he heard them answer improperly that he's a Ramai. So Amalu, he said to witnesses, what are you talking about? Anor Ramah, Anor, am I a Ramai? And they said, of course not. Amalay, they said to him, of course not. Anan, Lav Ramai. At Karminon. We said that you're not a rabbi. That's what we said yes to, that you're an honest person. We misunderstood the question. Now, the problem over here is this, as Rashi points out, a situation of magid v'chozer umagid. When witnesses come and testify, they're not allowed to change their testimony, unless they change it b'toch k'dei dibur, to expand or explain what they just said. So then once they said A, 10 minutes later, they can't say no, it's B. So is this a case where they said he's a rabbi, and then they say, no, we didn't mean he's a rabbi, we meant he's an honest guy. So is this a case of magid, v'chozer, umagid, or not? So I'm a rabbi by Rav Huna. Clearly, they misunderstood my question. Mistabra, because it makes no sense to think that the father of a papa would bring two witnesses that would say he's a rabbi. Mistabra, lo maisi inish, he wouldn't bring witnesses that say he's a rabbi. He clearly brought people that would say he's an erlich guy. They clearly misunderstood the question, and it's not therefore magid v'chozer magid. This was a case of just a misunderstanding, and now they're explaining what they originally said. They were saying that he was an honest guy, not that he's a rabbi, and Rabba Bar Rav Huna gave the donkey back to the father of Rab Papa. Go to the next Mishnah, called Davish Osev Ochel. If a person finds something that has the capacity to do work and therefore pay for itself, such as the Gemara will tell us, or Rashi brings down over here, a shor or a chamor. So you found the shor chamor, you have to feed it, you have to take care of it, but you know what? You can either rent it out or use it yourself to plow or to carry packages. So in this situation, Yasev Yochav, the person who finds it, shouldn't be suffering a loss. So therefore, he has to take care of the animal. We always try to give back the exact animal that was lost rather than just sell it and give him the money, because as Rashi brings down, this animal's broken in. As Rashi says, Noachlo bebehimaso, sheikirabo kvar, velimdo lirtsono. This animal has already, so to say, been broken in, and the animal knows his what he wants, and he knows how the animal works. So therefore, you always try to return the exact item that was lost. Now, as we'll see in this Mishnah and in the Gemara, if it's too much of a tircha, then we don't insist upon it. But with an animal that can pay for itself, so to say, like a shor or a chamar, so work with the animal or rent the animal out, yasav yocha, and it'll pay for itself. And therefore, we tell you don't sell the animal, but try to keep the animal, and eventually when you return it to the original owners, they'll get back the original animal. But something which you just have expenses on, it doesn't really do any work, so then you're allowed to go and sell it, because the pasuk says, you have to return it to him. And if you're going to spend, the animal's worth $100, but you have to spend over the next 2 months until he finally returns it, $200 for it, so then the guy didn't get anything back. He got an animal back, so he has to then pay you for all the expenses, so he's losing on the deal. So the pasuk says, "Shenema vashiv osolo," meaning look into it, re'eh hech tishivenulo, in order to make sure that you really return it to him. So you find this animal, it'd be a lot of work, a lot of expense to take care of it. He's going to actually lose money on the deal, or certainly not get his full animal back. So better to sell the animal for $100 and then give him $100. No, it's not the same animal, but it's better than having to go and pay for all the expenses and the upkeep, because that would be worth more than the animal, possibly. Or even if it's not worth more than the animal, he'll lose some of the value of the animal. Now, what do you do with this money? Now, the person who found it sold the animal, Maya Bidomim. So this is a machlokis. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yishtamesh Ben, you're allowed to use the money. And therefore, since you're allowed to use the money, you're responsible for it. Lepikoch im avdu. If in fact the money is lost, so then you have to be responsible for it. Chayabach Yusan. However, Rabbi Kiva disagrees. We keep him lo yishtamish behem. You're just a shomachinam. So you're not allowed to use this money. And therefore, lefikoch im avdu, if the money is lost other than through pshia, other than through your negligence, then you don't have to go and pay back the person, because you did in due diligence. You did what you're supposed to do. And you're not going to be responsible for certain things that happened to it other than pshia. Now, the Gemara starts and says, uli olam. So the implication is that you have to go and yes, so the yochel. Does that mean forever? You never have to stop? this is going to be, if nobody comes and claims it for the rest of your life, you have to go and take care of this animal essentially for free because, well, it's paying for itself, but you're not getting reimbursed with all the effort and work you're putting into it. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Ajud Beis Chodesh. It's for 12 months. If after 12 months, nobody comes and claims it, so then it's no longer your responsibility. You're allowed to go sell it at that point in time, and you put the money aside. Adshe Yavo Elio, and tell us who it actually belongs to. You can't keep it for yourself, because this animal had simanim. There's no reason to think that the owner necessarily was misyayish. At some point in time, they might be, but you just put the money aside. And the Brisa supports that statement that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. Tani Nami Hachi. Again, the Amoraim didn't always know the Brises. That's why we always have Tanya Nam Yochi. There's a Brisa that they didn't know about that actually supported their position. And the Brisa says, called Dovish Osav Yochel, if an animal is something that was found that can do work, so then Kagon Parav Chamor. Here they give the example of a par in a chamor, a shor in a chamor. So Metabo Behem Adyud Beis Chodesh. You have to go and let the animal work for the 12 months and it will pay for itself. You rent it out or you work it yourself. But after that, Mikam Elach. Shom de Mehen. After that, you can go and assess the value. You do a shum, you do an evaluation, and you can go and sell it. And then when you put the money aside, actually have a willio. However, if it's an animal that cannot go and take care of itself, in other words, you have to expend money. So agolim usiyachim. These are young calves and young donkeys that can't really work. So then you have to take care of them, albeit it's not so strenuous to take care of them, not so expensive. So we give you 3 months. Metabel bem shlosh chadoshim. And beyond that, mikam veilich, you can go and shom evaluate them and shom demehen umanichen. And then you can put that money aside. If it's an animal that is just a lot of tircha, avozin besar negolim. These are male geese and male chickens. In other words, they are ganders. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So the male geese are called ganders, and the chickens that are male are called roosters. So these avozin, the tarnagolim, that don't lay eggs, as we'll see in the Gemara, mitapel b'hem shloshim yom. So then you just have to take care of them for 30 days. That much we do matriach the person who finds them. But beyond that point in time, you can't be able to shom debeim. You go and evaluate how much they're worth, and you sell them, u'minichan, and you put the money aside. Okay. That's the Brisa in support of what Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel said. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, a different Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Tarnagoles, a female chicken that can lay eggs, so therefore it's self-supporting. This is like the Shor and the Chamor that are Yeyase v'Yolchal. So therefore, Tarnagoles ki behemagasa is halachically the same as the behemagasa, and therefore you keep them for the 12 months. Now we have a Brisa in support of what Rav Nachman said. And the Brisa goes as follows. Tarnagoles u'behemagasa. This Tarnagoles and behemagasa, where Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak just said. So this Brisa agrees with that. This Tarnagoles has the same status as behemagasa. Metabel bem shneim osar chodesh, because they are yaseh v'yochal. They're essentially earning their keep. So therefore, it's not so much of a tirach on you, and it's no cost to you. And the person will be able to get back his full item. So therefore, you keep them for the 12-month period of time. And then, mikam ve'elech, after that, well, owner didn't show up. We can't expect you to do this for the rest of your life. So therefore, shom demeim, you go and evaluate how much they're worth. You sell them. U'manichin, you put the money aside. If it's agolim musiyachin, if you're dealing over here with the very young calves or the very young donkeys that can't really do work, so then metabel behem. Now here the Brisa says lamid yom. In the previous Brisa, and this is going to be the Gemara's question. Previous Brisa we said you metabel behem shlosho chadoshim. Here in this Brisa says lamid yom, 1 month. So the first question the Gemara is going to ask is a stira. The first Brisa said 3 months, and this Brisa says essentially 1 month, 30 days. So we'll have to explain what the difference is between the two Brises. And then in this Brisa, after 30 days, we come veilach shom demeim. You go and evaluate how much they're worth. You go and sell it, and you put the money aside. Then this Brisa continues and says about the male geese and chickens, avozim v'tarnagolim, the ganders and the roosters. And anything similar to them, anything that the upkeep is worth more than the value of the animal. The animal's worth $100, and you're going to go and spend $200 on them, or even $100, or even $50, it's going to decrease the return that you're giving to the person. So therefore, in these situations, just take care of them, metabel behem shlosha yomim, 3 days. Now, in the previous brisa, we said metabel behem shloshim yom, so that's going to be another stira. There are two stiras between these two brises. The 3 months versus 1 month for the agolim and siyochim, and the 30 days versus 3 days for the Avozim and Taranagolim. So here it says, after 3 days, Mikam Ve'el, Shom the Mehem, you go and evaluate them, sell them, and you put the money aside. So, as I just pointed out, Kasha Agolim Usiyochim, Agolim Usiyochim, and Kasha Avozim V'Saranagolim, Avozim V'Saranagolim. You have two steers between the two brises. The first brise said that for the Agolim and Siyochim, it's 3 months, and the second brise says it's 30 days. The first brise said for the Avozim and Taranagolim, it's 30 days, and the second brise said 3 days. What's going on? So the Gemara answered both in Mor and Estira. The Agolim Usiyochim, Agolim Usiyochim Lukasha, the 3 months versus the 30 days isn't a kasha, because it's talking about different scenarios. Ha deraya, v'ha depituma. When it's 3 months, it's when there's easy pasture for them. So therefore, you're not doing a lot of hard work. They're just going out to pasture. You're not putting out any money. They're just eating the grass. So therefore, that we say 3 months. Even though they're not doing any work for you, there's not a lot of expenses. V'ha depituma. But the second brisa that says 30 days, that's because you're feeding them. There is no pasture over here. And therefore, you're actually going and feeding them. So therefore, that's a lot of work, and therefore it's only 30 days. So that explains the Agolim Siyochim Kasha, the stira between the two brises, not a stira. What about the Avozim V'Taranagolim, Avozim V'Taranagolim? Also, Nami Lo Kasha, the 3 days versus in the second brisa versus the 30 days in the first brisa, also not a kasha. Now, the way we are going to understand this will be like Rashi, Habiravrivi, Habizutri. Rashi says in the Masa Ravrivi, the larger Avozim and Taranagolim, Ochlin Harbe, they eat a lot. And therefore, Hilkach Gimel Yomim, we only keep them for 3 days because they're going to eat you out of house and home, and the person who owns them is going to lose all his money. So therefore, and as Rashi says, the Ukimra Bishar, they're not laying eggs, so there's nothing coming in. So therefore, the understanding of Rashi is that the first brisa that says 30 days is talking about small ones, and the second brisa, that's the Zutri, and the second brisa that says 3 days is talking about large ones, Hobi Ravri. But if you look at that, Gosa Groh, Salav, so he brings down from the Rambam the exact opposite, and he says that the Muki Yosef says also in the Shem of the Rabbeinu Chananel the same thing, that it's the opposite. Doesn't explain why, but Mistama, the large ones, so they're easier to take care of, they're easier to feed, as opposed to the small ones, you almost have to like force feed them, so therefore it's 30 days versus 3 days, the exact opposite. In any event, this explains the steers between the first brisa and the second brisa. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, if an animal really doesn't earn its keep, so then you keep it for a much shorter period of time. So the Brisa says, that you have to go and return him what he lost. Now, that means, how are you going to go and actually give it back to him? It means shelo yachil egel la'agolim, that you shouldn't have one calf, so to say, have to be sacrificed in order to go and support the other calf. So you found three calves, but in order to support them, you have to sell one to go and upkeep the other two. So you're not returning him three, you're really only returning him two. And the same thing with siach, the little donkey, you're going to have to sell one little donkey to support the other two donkeys. Siach, siachim, so that's not returning it, that's not vashiv osolo. And therefore, we also don't want you to have to go and sell off one of the ganders in order to support the other ganders, and one of the roosters to go support the other roosters, because they're not producing anything. So therefore, that's the chokhmah behind this. That's what the Mishnah means. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah. It says, "Ma'yeh bedomim." What do you do with the money? So then we have the machlokes. Rabbi Tavan and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Tavan only ishtamish v'chulei. And Rabbi Kiva says, "No, you're not allowed to ishtamish it." Now, the Gemara says that the machlokes of Rabbi Tavan and Rabbi Kiva is ad kan lo pligi. They're not arguing over here. When we turn to Chavtes Amud Aleph, which is a shorter Amud, and Mitzvah Shem will get through it. Elo kishin ishtamish ben. They're only talking about the machlokes when they're using it. Avolon ishtamish ben. So imav the potter. So then everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Tavan agrees that if you're not allowed to use it, so then you wouldn't be responsible for anything other than Pshia. You're a Shomer Chinam. Now, let us say that this is Leim Metevi Tiyut to the Rav Yosef. This seems to go against the opinion of Rav Yosef. Now, what is this? Is a machlokis between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, where what we just said goes in accordance with Rabbah, but doesn't go in accordance with Rav Yosef. What is this machlokis? Leim Metevi Tiyut to the Rav Yosef, the Yidma, because we learned that how do we view a person who finds a lost object? What is his status? What type of a Shomer is he? He's certainly a Shomer. What type of a Shomer is he? So, Shomer Aveda, somebody who finds a lost item. Rabbah classifies him, Rabbah Omar, Kishom Mechidim. We view him as a Shom Mechidim, and therefore he's only Chayev for Pshia. As Rashi says, V'eino Chayev, Ela B'Pshia. So if he's negligent, yeah, he's Chayev, but anything else he's not Chayev for. So therefore, we understand, if he's not allowed to use the money, so he's clearly a Shom Mechidim, and therefore, as long as he's not negligent, he'll be Potter. And therefore, everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva say he's a Shom Mechidim. So they each are in accordance with Rabbah. But Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef is Omar, Kishom Asocha. Do we view him as a Shom Asocha? Rashi explains, he therefore would be v'chayi b'gneva v'yaveda. Shom Asachar is chayi b'gneva v'yaveda. Now, how is he a Shom Asachar? He's not getting paid. He's considered a Shom Asachar because the Shom Asachar mitzvah, the osek b'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. This person is involved in going and taking care of this lost Aveda, and therefore he's Osek in a mitzvah. If an Ani were to come up to him and ask if it's tzedakah, he wouldn't have to give the Ani money because he's busy and involved in a mitzvah. Now, that held discussion. Well, he's not involved in 100% of the time. How can you say that he doesn't have to give the Ani? We'll leave that for another time. But the bottom line is that since he's Osek in a mitzvah, he's saving some money. And that's why he's considered a Shomer Sachar. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef would say, Omer, Kishomer Sachar, and therefore he would be Chayav for Geneva the Aveda. And therefore, when we just said above, I will only establish them imav du potter, so that clearly goes against Rav Yosef. Therefore, lema tevet yuvtel Rav Yosef. How would Rav Yosef respond? I'm Rav Yosef, no. Bigneva the aveda, in regards to if it's stolen or if it's lost from him, to kuliyam lo pligi dechayev. Everybody holds like me that he's a shalom sachar, and everybody would say in that situation that you're actually chayev. And then where is the machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva? Keep pligi. They're only having their argument, but onsin the shal. Whether we view him as a shoel or not. Rabbi Tarfon savar shorei le rabbonu liyishtamushe begavayu. Since Rabbi Tarfon says you're allowed to use the money, so it says you're borrowing this money, and you have the status of a shoel. Vavle shoel alayu, and therefore shoel chayef for geneva v'aveda. He's chayef for onsin, he's chayef for everything. Only not chayef for mesa machamas malacha. But if he's selling it, we're dealing here with the money, so it can't be mesa machamas malacha. So therefore, he's going to be chayef on everything. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Savar, Lo Sharalei Rabbanu Lishtamushe Begavayu. No, the rabbis didn't permit you to use this money, and therefore you're not considered the shoal of the money. And therefore, Hilkach Lo Havi Shoal, you're not considered the shoal, and therefore you're going to be potter for these other damages. You'll be chayef for Geneva Aveda, but be potter for Onsin. Shmuel says, wait a second, Ihachi, so then why did the Mishnah say, Lefikach the Omer Rabbi Akiva, Lonely? Why did it have to tell us, therefore, in the Mishnah we had said, and therefore, lefikoch imavdu en chayv yachr yusun. It is because you're not a shoel. That's why you're not chayev. Why did I have to say, therefore you're not chayev? So Gemara says, let's explain this a little bit more. According to the opinion that says they're arguing, are you a shoel mechinim or a shoel mesachar? So we understand this. That's why Rabbi Kiva had to say, Rabbi Kiva, Omer lo yishtamish ben, you're not allowed to use them. And therefore, lefikoch im avdu, enu chai b'yachru yusuf. Therefore, if it's lost, you're not chai b'gneva v'veda, like Rabbah. So because Shomer Sachar have a kid Rav Yosef. You might have thought that he's a Shomer Sachar, like Rav Yosef, Kamash Malon, and in that situation, Kamash Malon, Lefikoch, that's why I have to say, therefore, since you can't use it, you're not considered a Shomer Sachar, we pass it over here like Rabbah, that you're a Shomer Chinam, and that's why you're part of Begneva Veda. That's why you have to say Lefikoch. Shomer Sachar lo have the lo Mechai, Begneva Veda. But Eliyamas, if you say like Rabbi Yosef that everybody actually says b'gneva v'aveda, the kuliyam lo pligi the chayev. If you say like Rabbi Yosef that they both hold that he's a shomer sachar, so then ki pligi be onsin the shoel. So then they're only arguing about the onsin in regards to an onus that happens to a shoel. Why did Rabbi Akiva say my lefikoch the Rabbi Akiva? It doesn't make any sense to say lefikoch. It should have just said Rabbi Akiva omer lo yishtamish ben. You're not allowed to use it, and therefore you're not a shoel. V'anu yadad the kiva lo yishtamish ben. Since you're not allowed to use it, obviously, the kibbutz lo yishtamish ben, lav shoal havi, you're not considered a shoal. Ve'enu chayav b'yachru yusin. And obviously, you're not chayav b'yachru yusin. Why did he say, lefikoch, therefore, to Rabbi Kiva lomeli? Doesn't make any sense. Now, the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yosef would say, no, it does make sense, because you didn't need it for Rabbi Akiva, you're right, but we needed it for Rabbi Tarfon, and therefore, because it's a parallelism, since we say lefikoch by Rabbi Tarfon, so we also use the terminology lefikoch by Rabbi Akiva. But the real ikar usage of lefikoch was for Rabbi Tarfon. And that is, Rabbi Yosef would say, Mishum lefikoch de Rabbi Tarfon, you needed to say lefikoch for Rabbi Tarfon. After all, Rabbi Tarfon had to tell us in the Mishnah, lefikoch imav du chayav b'yachru yusuf, because you're using it, and therefore you are a shoel. Oh, therefore you needed the lefikoch for Rabbi Tarfon. And once you tell me the lefikoch for Rabbi Tarfon, then you also tell me parallelism, the lefikoch for Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, ulefikoch to Rabbi Tarfon, lomli, why did you have to tell me that? So the Gemara says, hachi kamar, this we have to understand it. The Gemara is telling us that the Mishnah, when Rabbi Tarfon is saying, kivan disharule rabbanu lishtamushe begavayu, that the lefikoch is, since the rabbi said you're allowed to use it, it's as if kiman dishtamish begavayu dami. It's as if you did use it. Even though you haven't used it, you have the right to use it. And once you have the right to use it, you're considered a shoel, and therefore lefikoch chayav b'yachri yusan. So therefore, since it had to tell me the lefikoch by Rabbi Tarfon, so then for parallelism, it also tells me the lefikoch by Rabbi Kiva, which you're right, wasn't really necessary. Gemara says, but wait a second, it doesn't talk about onsin. It says, v'ha'avdu kitani. It says it was lost. Now, according to Rav Yosef, everybody agrees by Gneva Vedi Yechayev. So what are you talking about? It says, v'ha'avdu kitani. And we turn to Chavtes Amud Beis. So it says, this is going in accordance with Kidder Rabbah. What did Rabbah say? Dama Rabba. When it says over here, Geneva ve'aveida, so it's talking here about Geneva of Onsen, Nignivu Belist Mizuyan. It was stolen by armed robbers. Armed robbers are considered ones, not regular Geneva ve'aveida. And therefore, you would normally be potter if you're a Shomer Sachar. It's only if you're a Shoal that you're chayav for it. So that's the machlokis over here. For Geneva that's listed in Mizuyan, which is Onsen, or Avdu, it means Shetova Sinos Vayam. Not that it was just Stam lost, then you'd be chayav. But here, the difference is between a Shomer Sachar and a Shoal. The Shomer Sachar is potter if the boat sinks, whereas the Shoal would be chayiv nevertheless. So therefore, that, according to Rav Yosef, is what our Mishnah means, im avdu, if it was lost, via an onsen. So then, according to Rabbi Tarfon, since you had the right to use the money, you're a shoal, and you're chayiv, according to Rabbi Kiva, you didn't have the right to use the money, and therefore, you're potter. But both of them would agree, by regular Geneva v'aveda, the halach is like Rav Yosef, he says that you're a shoal mesochar. How do we, in fact, paskin? I'm reviewed, I'm reshvul. Halachic Rabbi Tarfon. We, in fact, paskin like Rabbi Tarfon that the person is allowed to use the money, and therefore he'd be chayiv for all of these things. According to Rabba, it would just be that he'd be chayiv for Geneva v'Aveda, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, he'd be chayiv even for Onsen. Okay. Now, Maisa Shoya, Biyad Rachva Havalei Hanu Zuzi the Yasmi. Rabba was like a Gizbart stalker for the Yisomim, and he had their money. So, also, the coming to Rav Yosef, went to Rav Yosef and said, am I allowed to use this money? I'm holding it in trust for them, but can I use it? Amalei. So, he went to Rav Yosef and said to him, Maulishtamushe Begavayu. Am I allowed to use this money or not? So, Amalei, Rav Yosef tells him, Hachem Rav Yudim Mishul. Oh, that which we just passed in, Rav Yudim Mishul said that Loch is Rabbi Tarfon, so therefore, you're allowed to use the money. Now, that was the psak that Rachva had been given by Rav Yosef. But Abaye says that's wrong. Only Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, the law of my law, didn't the Rebbe teach us, Amar Rav Chalbo, Amar Rav Huna, that Rav Chalbo said in the name of Rav Huna, Lo Shanu Ela B'dimei Aveda. This din of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the halachas like Rabbi Tarfon, is only in regards to an Aveda. And that's because you had watched this Aveda for a while, and only now you're selling it. So hold the Torah, since you had to go and be matriach yourself to take care of it, and then to go and sell it, so therefore the rabbis gave you like a consolation prize that you're allowed to use this money. You'll be held accountable for it, either like a Shomer Sachar or like a Shoel, but you'll be held accountable for it, but we give you the right to use it. If you found money, which you didn't do any work and effort for, the low tarachbo, you just put in your safe deposit box and that's it. So then low, then you're not allowed to go use the money. Who gave you the right to use the money? You didn't do anything to earn it, so just put it aside and until the owner comes and claims it. So in this situation, so the money of the orphans is like money of an aveda that you found money and not like something that you had found animals and then you had to sell them in matria for them. So in other words, Abaye is telling Rav Yosef, you can't pass it over here like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that Loch is Rav Tarfon, that you're allowed to use the money because that was only said when you had the animal that you found and then had to be selling it, the matriach yourself to sell it. But if it was mos, aveda, the actual money, you wouldn't be allowed to use it. And this case is analogous to that. And therefore, you should have told Rachva that you're not allowed to use it. No, Rav Yosef accepts Abaye's comments and he goes and tells Rachva, Amalei, Rav Yosef goes and tells Rachva, Zil, you gotta go, sorry. Lo shav guli di ishri loch. You can't use this money. As Abaye had pointed out, this doesn't apply. Yehuda Amar Shmuel's psak, like Rabbi Tarfon, doesn't apply in this case. So Baruch Hashem, we got already ahead half of one daf, trying to already prepare us for Pesach, so that we'll have a little bit easier time with the Yom Tov of Pesach, the people that are listening to the Shia can't listen, obviously, on Yom Tov. So B'ezus Hashem, we'll start to try over the next few weeks to make up the days of Pesach that you can't listen to Shiurim. With this, we conclude today's Shir. There should be Shalom on all of Kal Yisrael, and Freilich and Purim to everyone.